From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead and 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kasakwe strikes the lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Paid up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth, Sunbird.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, back in the saddle with you on this Saturday morning alongside my usual entry mate, that is the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and we are coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Do want to welcome everybody tuning in throughout North America on Sirius 219 XM Channel 206. All of you tuning in here in Lexington on Hank 96.1 FM and ESPN 680 in Louisville and other affiliates across the country. And of course, streaming us worldwide on your computer or your mobile device on our website at horseracingradio.net. JT, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Songbird Saturday.
Songbird Saturday.
I love that hashtag that's been going around on Twitter.
Yeah. I just recently posted a picture of some Songbird sneakers.
Ooh.
Very cool.
Songbird sneakers.
Yes. I said, wear them if you got them.
The red and white?
No, they're actually pink, but a picture of Songbird on the side.
Oh, that's cool.
It's on my Twitter.
That's neat.
So, yeah, big day. Excuse me. Almost a walkover up there. Not much to run against.
No, she's what, 1-5 on the morning line. It's only a 6-horse field, and she towers over the competition.
Yeah, but you know they don't run them on paper.
No.
Still got to go around the track.
Well, it's not at Saratoga, so if it was at Saratoga, I would say, well, maybe an upset lurking.
Do you think
the weeds.
That's overdone?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't think so. No, I mean, look what happened to American Pharoah. Ask him if he thinks it's overdone.
Oh, well, I don't. It wasn't Saratoga's fault.
Graveyard of champions.
Yeah, well, it's a myth, I think.
I don't know. There have been a lot of really good horses.
Horses get beat all the time.
They do.
But it's not Saratoga's fault.
It just happens at Saratoga.
Well.
It's part of the mystique, right?
Yes.
Isn't it?
It's more lore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is more lore.
I don't know. I don't believe in all those things.
Well, Songbird, heavy favorite in the Delaware Handicap today. She does face just 5 rivals in that race. But look, anytime she goes to the post now, you have to watch. I mean, it's a must watch. She's one of the greatest fillies we've seen in a long, long time. And you think about, and that's going to be our poll question of the day at HRN on Twitter. You think about some of the great female thoroughbreds that we've seen over the past decade. This has been just an amazing run, going back to Rachel Alexandra and Zenyatta, and now here comes Songbird and Mike Smith.
Beholder?
Beholder.
Hello.
There you go. There's another one. Beholder. All right, so there's another one we have to add to the list. You're right, Beholder. And now Mike Smith has had the opportunity to be aboard 2 of them. Think of how lucky Mike Smith is.
Oh, well, Mike Smith is dipped in luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just, he has the Midas touch. Somebody tweeted out, he did $16 million in purses in 4 races this year.
Right.
And he led the nation 1 year with $16 million in purses mm-hmm. for the whole year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
No,
of course, the money now is crazy. So it's great. It's great that the purses are big and horses can actually make some money. People can actually break even.
Yeah, which isn't easy to do.
There's a message, Judmont breaks even.
Definitely not easy to do in this game. But let's throw that one out there as a poll question this morning. And you can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRN. You can do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, if you're not already following us there. The greatest filly or mare, the greatest female runner of the past decade. Let's go with that. Who gets your vote as the greatest female thoroughbred of the past decade. And we'll give you four choices because that's all you can do on Twitter. So we'll give you four choices. You get Rachel Alexandra. You can vote for Zenyatta. You can vote for Beholder or Songbird. Those are the four. That's one heck of a superfecta.
Yeah, it wouldn't pay much, but
no, it wouldn't. But that quartet, as good as any four female runners that we've seen, I think, in any decade of the sport. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've seen more decades than I
have. I've seen a lot of decades. I've seen more decades than I care to remember. But, you know, and then there's other Royal Delta, for instance.
Yeah, we don't even have her on the list,
I think,
right?
She's in that conversation.
Oh, absolutely she is.
You know, she's high up on my list.
Yeah, if we could go with a fifth choice, she would obviously be the, not ranking them one through five, but she would be another.
Oh, let's not get into ranking them. Ed DeRosa's already caused enough problems ranking
right.
them.
Right. Well, and I think that's an interesting discussion, but we're not going to do it here. But I do think that's an interesting discussion because, you know, it's like any sport. You know, you look at different teams and you say, okay, well, over the past decade, two decades, three decades, whatever it is, which is the best team? Very difficult to do, and very difficult to do in thoroughbred racing as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of meaningless. I think you appreciate each horse, each team, you know, whatever sport you follow, each individual as they come through. And to say this guy's better than that guy, or this gal is a better tennis player than this one, it's all craziness. You know, I think people should just appreciate greatness when they see it and not try to rank them. I don't know what the need to say one is better than the other.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I think if you're going to take those five, okay, just because we're focusing on those five runners, Rachel Zenyatta, Beholder, Royal Delta, and Songbird. In my opinion, I think that Songbird is on the outside looking in with those other four. If you're going to try and say, okay, which one doesn't belong? And that's a very difficult thing to do with those five. To me, she still has more to do if she's going to find herself among those greats. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Or
has she done enough to say, okay, she's among those?
I think she's done enough. It's kind of, you know, to me, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you're great, you're great. In the old days, and back in those decades that you were referring to that I've lived through, there used to be these articles oftentimes where people would lump the horses together and try to handicap who was the best. You know, they'd have these imaginary races with all these horses, and, you know, people would spend time doing speed figures and pace analysis and track variance for, you know, races in the past, you know. Citation better than Spectacular Bid, right? And all that. And it used to be a popular thing. And, you know, I never really got the point of it. It's very, very difficult to compare.
There are going to be people that hear me say that Songbird, out of those five that we're talking about, has more work to do to belong with that group. Look, she's in that group. But I think if there was one of those five that you had to choose and say, okay, maybe she still needs to do a little bit more to be among the true elites, maybe it's Songbird. But as I say that, you look at her resume, Jude, she's won 12 of 13 lifetime starts. Her only loss coming in the Breeders' Cup Distaff by a nose to the great Beholder. She's earned more than $4 million in this remarkable career. So if she's the one on the outside looking in, how good are the other four?
Yeah, well, I don't think she... I mean, you know, Royal Delta might be the one that's on the outside looking in. You know, she probably didn't have the same kind of record, but it's not that she wasn't great or,
yeah,
you know, on any given day. I think, you know, that's the other question, is on any given day, who could win this race? And I think any one of those fillies, you know, if you ran that race 1,000 times, you know, it'd probably be pretty even. I mean, you see that in Major League Baseball, you know, like the Cubs and the Pirates, for instance, they were talking about that the other day. They've played over 1,000 times, mm-hmm, or whatever. And it's like 50-50. And, you know, so it's amazing how it all works out in the end.
Yeah.
You know, But I guess it's fodder for conversation.
It is fodder for conversation. And again, you can go vote right now. We want to know who gets your vote as the greatest Philly of the past 10 years. And you only get four choices on Twitter, so we're going to give you those four. Rachel Alexandra, Zenyatta, Beholder, and Songbird. I know we're leaving Royal Delta out, and you can write in a vote for Royal Delta if you feel like she's the one. But we want to hear from you, HRN Nation. Head over there now at HRN Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. Trainer Mike Hushin is going to saddle his final starter tomorrow in the sixth race at Belmont Park. He actually has two horses entered in that race. He'll be retiring at the somewhat young age, when you look at trainers in thoroughbred racing, the somewhat young age of 69. And we're going to be joined by Mike coming up after the first commercial break here in just about 5 minutes from right now. Larry Colmus will join us at around 8:35 Eastern time. Larry, of course, the announcer with NBC. He's the announcer with NYRA. He's going to look ahead to the Saratoga meet, which begins next Friday. And we're going to bring you exclusive coverage of all the big races every single Saturday during the meet with our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series here on the network, all presented by visitbarbados.org. So looking forward to that visit with Larry Colmus. Mark Thatcher will join us at 9 o'clock Eastern. And you say, well, who the heck is Mark Thatcher? Mark Thatcher is the owner and breeder of Puerto Rico's 12th Triple Crown winner. That just happened last week. So we're going to get a chance to visit with him and talk about winning a Triple Crown in Puerto Rico. Should be a lot of fun. The horse is just a Sierra, and he is going to be pointed for the Clásico del Caribe at Gulfstream in December, which is a race you're going to hear on our Spanish network, HRN in Espanol. That should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to the interview at 9 Eastern.
Yeah, it's really cool that they're holding that at Gulfstream and looking forward to that. I wish we were doing it in English, too, but remains to be seen.
All right, CJ Johnson with us at 9:35 Eastern time this morning as well. CJ with Kentucky Downs, and he'll look ahead to that meet and tell you all about some of the things you can look forward to later this fall. We'll get to everything next. It's right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Sean Avery is ready to roll. He's still on hold. In behind horses as they come to the top of the stretch. Justin Phillip is five from the front. And then at Zero Rate Posse, Kaisha Electronica is getting underway in a big way, but he's still got a lot to do after a 45-second flat half mile. Top of the stretch, Poseidon's Warrior, Little Drama. Here's the Lumber Guy on the outside. Here's Sean Avery down toward the rail. Here's Kaisha Electronica, who's coming fast, very fast, on the far outside. It is the Lumber Guy in front. Kaisha Electronica closing as they come down to the line. And it is the Lumber Guy. Won it by a length. Kaisha Electronica was a hard-charging second.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass. The Lumber Guy winning the 2012 Vosburgh. That was Tom Durkin with the call. He would go on to finish second that year in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and that is one moment I know that trainer Mike Hushin is never going to forget in what has been an illustrious career for him. That career is going to come to a close tomorrow afternoon at Belmont Park when he saddles his final career starter. And we told you earlier, Mike is only 69 years old. That is very young in the sport of thoroughbred racing, very young in general, but very young in the sport of thoroughbred racing for trainers to step away from the game. And he is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, appreciate the time, my friend.
Well, thank you.
You know, if you can
let's
win,
do it.
Yeah, let's do it. If you can win tomorrow, you're going to pick up win number 1,427. What a career. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a long 40 something years.
Yeah, well, what's made it so long? It sounds like things have gone pretty well for Mike Hushin.
Yeah, they have gone pretty well. But anybody that knows what it's like to train horses knows that there's a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I'm thankful for being able to do it, and I loved my job. But you get the highs are very high, but the lows are pretty low, and they hang around for a while. You know, when you lose 80% of your races, you're doing better than most other people.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's a thankless game sometimes, and I always used to tell people if you had a job at McDonald's and worked as many hours, you'd be a gazillionaire.
Believe me, I'm not complaining. I consider myself tremendously lucky to be able to have made a living doing this all these years.
I saw
just more trying to tell you why I figure it's just time. The time has just come for me to fold.
I saw you were quoted as saying something to the effect of you've been looking forward to sitting in the bakery and reading the newspaper and having your coffee for the last 40 years. And I thought that was a kind of a great line, because there's so many times in a trainer's life that they miss out on things, you know, with their families and their friends, because they're working, you know, 7 days a week. And it's those little pleasures that most people get to enjoy in their life, trainers miss out on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's the way I feel. You know, I started last year taking Sundays off, which I never did, and spending them with my grandkids. And that's been wonderful, but it even made me think more about how I wanted to be able to spend more time and get away and do things with them and my family.
Mike, when you think about this career, you look back to your very first winter in 1975 at Aqueduct, Tugboat Ryan, and then you think about so many of those other outstanding horses you've had the privilege to be around. Tell us about some of the moments that you're just always going to remember.
Well, I know with Lumber Guy, when he finished second in the Breeders' Cup, that'll always be in my mind, because, you know, when you have a horse, well, as a better, you know it too, and you think you have to race one at the 16th pole or at the 8th pole, you think he's going to get there, and they don't. It's like losing twice, and you know, on the biggest stage there is, that was a tough one. But you know, every win's a thrill. I remember Alan Jerkins said one time, somebody asked him why he got so emotional in the winner's circle so often with so many horses. And his answer was, well, you never know when a win's going to be your last one. I know what he meant. It's tough. Wins are thrilling no matter what kind of a race it is.
Yeah,
of course, it's nice with the pros that go out there and run hard. And, every time you bring them out there, you know, they're the horses that are really fun to train. They make trainers and jockeys and look good and owners happy. They're not that easy to find.
No, and a lot of times, you know, the best training jobs that you do are with horses that aren't famous. You know, but you know that you did something really special, and that's maybe the most gratifying thing about being a trainer.
That's very true. I mean, a maiden 25 win can be just as fulfilling as any stake.
Visiting with trainer Mike Hushin here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, you've had so many relationships, really nice relationships with trainers and owners for a very, very long time. Some of those owners include the likes of Barry Schwartz, for example. Tell me about some of the people who have kind of helped you and supported you over the years, and how difficult is it going to be to not be showing up to work for them every single day?
Well, when I started training, I didn't have any relatives or any really know any owners on the racetrack. I came in pretty cold. So when I started training, I had two horses, but not too much to fall back on as far as communication. I was working so hard, I wasn't like I could sit over in the clubhouse and talk to people about it. And a man named Seymour Cohen took a shot with me and gave me four claiming horses to train. And we got on a little roll with that, with those horses. And my phone started ringing, and, Barry Schwartz started to notice me, and Richard Migliori took me over to Barry's house in Saratoga one afternoon, and that was 25 years ago, and that was really when things turned the corner.
Yeah, Mr. Schwartz and you, at least 25 years together, that's so rare in our business these days. Talk about that relationship a little bit.
Well, it's always been a little give and take. You know, Barry would listen to me. But he knows the game, and he'd have an opinion sometimes, and that's always been fine. And I've said to everybody, it's amazing. It's 25 years without an argument. It's been a wonderful time. And Barry and Cheryl, you know, have always treated me like family. Couldn't ask for any more.
How did he react when you made that phone call, Mike, and said, Barry, this is it, I'm done?
He's the best. It was almost like he said, good for you.
That's
great. As I started to explain why, he understood, and he had already thought it through. And he's, every owner of mine was just totally supportive that I called. Mr. Broman was a wonderful man. He was great. The Blue Guy Bison guys and Stuart Hoffman, they were wonderful. Everybody's been totally supportive and understanding.
You know, you mentioned a couple of pretty big names, and Richard Migliori and then Alan Jerkins earlier in the interview. Talk about some of those people on this side of the fence, so to speak, Mike, that supported you and helped you along the way, some of the horsemen and some of those jockeys.
Well, I've had relationships with a lot of riders that, I kind of stick with mostly one rider through the barn when I can, and I've had the privilege of sticking with some good ones. I mean, Ramon Dominguez and I, we had a great chemistry and a crazy good record for the time that he was riding, and he's such a special gentleman. you know, and still, of course still is, but I mean, as a rider, you know, there was Channing Hill and Aaron Greider, Richie, of course, you know, and Jose Ortiz and I, when I first came over here, Jose and Irad Ortiz and Manny Franco, you know, they get them in the barn working three horses together. It was a lot of fun. And as far as trainers, you know, Alan, when I was getting started too, he'd send me a horse to train every now and then, send me a horse or two that he owned himself. That was always fun. But, you know, I've developed a lot of strong friendships. The person that comes to my mind is Jimmy Jerkins, who was just, as far as I'm concerned, he's second to none at the job and as a person.
Yeah, we would second that, too, because Jimmy is one of the classiest people that you're ever going to meet. And some people would also say that Mike Hushin is one of those classiest people. And, Mike, we can't we can't thank you enough on everything you've done for the sport over the past four decades or so. How emotional is it going to be tomorrow when you walk into the paddock and you saddle those final starters?
Very. I'll probably be a blubbering fool. I'm gonna look like Alan Jerkins used to look. If you want to speak, but I'll get through it somehow, I guess.
Yeah, well, you've earned it. You can enjoy every moment of that tomorrow. And you know, again, we can't thank you enough for taking a little time here this morning. We want to wish you all the best moving forward. How much time do you think you're going to spend around the racetrack now that you're not training and you don't have to show up to work every day?
I don't know. You know, I'm just going to feel these things out as I go. I'm going to take a few deep breaths and take a few months and figure out where I'm going. It's when I say where I'm going, it's not like I'm going to be looking for a job, but just whether I'm going to move closer to my kids or not, you know, or if I wake up in the morning and feel like coming in. You know, people ask me, what are you going to do? And I love giving them the answer, whatever I feel like.
Yeah, such a luxury. That's it's fantastic. And one thing I'll tell you, you'll still be getting up at 4:30 every morning. It just doesn't go away.
No, I'm setting my sights. I'm setting my sights on 6 o'clock, hoping that I can do that after a couple of months.
That's good. It's taken me like 17 years to sleep until 5:30. So,
No.
He doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah,
you want to sleep, but it's just inside your clock genes. That's all there is to it.
Yes,
Mike. What advice do you give to a young person that comes to you, or let's say they do come up to you at some point over the next several months, and they say, "Hey, I'd like to maybe try my hand at training horses." What do you tell them?
Well, I think they need to look at the big picture and learn that there's more involved now than being a good man in a stall with a horse. You know, I always thought that my generation back when we started, it was if you knew horses inside and out from being a groom and living with them, what you did back then, that you would make a good trainer. But now it takes more than that. You need to learn management. I mean, you should go to school and take some business courses, some computer courses, and because there's no more small men, so shoot to be the big guy. There'll be more of them. You know, 20 years from now, maybe Todd will be retiring and be looking to take somebody to take his place out of the ranks, but. And the other thing they might try is that Chad Brown went to work for a vet for a year or two, I understand, and that would be a wonderful thing to do. I guess that would be the things that jump into my mind.
Mike, what have you enjoyed most about being a trainer over the past four decades?
I think friendships in the barn and on the rail and with the owners, all the people, you know, and the other thing that comes to mind is all the adrenaline rushes that we get, you know, you can certainly be thankful for that. You know, look back and I could have had a very bland type of job and missed out on all the tremendous things that go on with the ups and with the downs, because the downs make the ups that much better.
Well, Mike, enjoy your time with your family and your grandchildren, and we wish you all the best moving forward. Thank you for everything you've done for the sport, and thank you for being with us here this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Thank you.
All right. Congratulations. Mike Hushin with us here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. How great is that guy?
Yeah, he's one of the best. And every article that I've read about his retirement, everybody says the same thing. He's just honest guy, hardworking guy, great guy to be around, a friend of many people on the backside. So that's the way you want to go out, you know.
Yeah, and thank goodness he gets to go out in good health as well. You remember it was in 2015 when he battled leukemia. He has now gotten a clean bill of health, and we're thankful for that too. So, Mike, enjoy it, and you know, you'll be missed. But we know you're going to be doing something that you love, and that's spending time with family. And who could argue with that?
You said he's still going to Saratoga.
Yeah, he'll still be there. No doubt. We'll see him at the windows.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way to do it. It's so nice to be a fan sometimes.
All right, we're going to step away for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, it's Larry Colmus talking about Saratoga right here on HRN. Stay with us.
There have been performances by horses on the racetrack that bear more than considerable note, and there have been horses of the same milk over a period of time. This is a story of a combination of both, a horse and a performance that are five-star in every category. Quote, "It won't be the same on Saturdays without Kelso, will it?" said the fat man. That perfunctory statement sums up the whole story. The story of Kelso and the Jockey Club Gold Cup run on the Saturday of Halloween in October of 1964. It was a golden autumn day for a golden thoroughbred, 51,000 fans on hand at Belmont Park, Long Island's grand dame of racing. They had come to pay homage to one in a million as a horse. People had waited 40 years for Kelso. There had been nothing like him since Exterminator in the 1920s and Man o' War of the same vintage. All there were great horses in the interim, Gallant Fox, Citation, Equipoise, Discovery, Native Dancer, Cavalcade, Count Fleet, 20 Grand, Armed Swaps, and Tom Fool, to recount just a few. There were some that occupied a very special place in the hearts of racing fans. The beloved Seabiscuit, War Admiral, Whirlaway, Alsab, Stymie, and Carryback, just to name a few. None had that rare and indefinable quality of absolute excellence of Exterminator, Man o' War, and now Kelso. His greatest single contribution to racing was in being a hero, a role model to be loved and admired. Not because of physical beauty, since he was actually underweight. And he was awkward and often seemed ill at ease. He was sort of like a homely girl who had donned her very best party dress but was doomed as a wallflower. He had a lackluster coat, and no matter what they tried to do to dress him up, as it were, he was still just plain old Kelso. You had to shake your head at Kelly, because you could never imagine him to be a champion among champions. The Jockey Club Gold Cup was virtually a permanent trophy of his, and he'd won it 4 years in a row. Unheard of. But here he was, trying to make it five in a row at the age of seven over the grueling two-mile distance. This was to be the last race run in New York for him. After some 1¾ miles of the Great Classic, he was second, right behind the dead-game Little Roman Brother, who'd given it all he'd had. Then Milo Valenzuela made his move aboard Kelso, and he charged at the leader. There was no need for the crowd to vent an encouraging "Come on, Kelly," as they'd done when he waged his stretch battles with Iron Peg in the Suburban and Gunbo in the Woodward. It was all over at the quarter pole, and everybody there knew it. And then an awesome thing happened. The 51,000 on hand went eerily silent for a moment, and then, just as woe on cue, 102,000 hands began to clap in unison, hands beating rhythmically in time with Kelso's stride. Cadence clapping a la European style for admiration of something special. It was like a Mahler concerto of human emotion. Kelso crossed the wire a winner in his fifth consecutive Jockey Club Gold Cup in a time of 3:19.1, a new track and American record for 2 miles. There was a wistful sadness inherent in the lengthening shadows of that fall afternoon. Summer was taking its last breath winter's frostiness lay just around the corner. The world would grow older, and so would Kelso. Like the fat man said, it won't seem like Saturday without Kelso. No, and there probably will never be another Saturday like that one, October 27, 1964, when Kelly won his fifth straight Jockey Club Gold Cup in what may very well have been the single greatest moment in all of thoroughbred racing's marvelous history.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler. Miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the top of the stretch, it is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a five, a six-length lead here with one furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are filed behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today. American Freedom was second. Gunrunner was third. And Gift Bunch was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 59.36 seconds. The fastest Travers ever and a new track record.
That's Larry Colmus with the call of last year's Midsummer Derby, the Travers at Saratoga. Arrowgate, simply, well, brilliant. And that may be an understatement. What a performance that day. Larry will be with us here shortly on the Equine Forum. At least we hope. We are efforting the announcer, as he likes to be called. And looking forward to the visit with the voice of racing, Larry Colmus.
Yes. Not to be confused with the voice of NASCAR.
Kurt Becker.
Kurt Becker.
Exactly. Yeah, looking forward to that. But, you know, you think about that meet beginning next Friday. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, if you're just joining us, we are going to be at Saratoga every single Saturday throughout the meet to bring you exclusive coverage of all of those major stakes races, including the Travers Stakes. You're going to hear all of those races on SiriusXM satellite radio and streaming worldwide on our website. And all that coverage presented by visitbarbados.org. So make us your home for all things Saratoga. Really looking forward to that entire meet. I mean, it's one of the premier meets, and this is an understatement, but one of the premier meets that we see anywhere in the world. And should be a lot of fun to get back up there.
Yeah, the racing is just outstanding and beautiful place to hang out during the summer. And, you know, a lot of good horses are planning on running
there. So. Well, yeah, of course. But if you had to pick the one race, I mean, the Travers may be a slam dunk here, but if you had to pick the one race or the one weekend you look forward to at Saratoga, what is it?
Well, you know, Travers Day, it's not only the Travers. There's so many other races now on that day. One of my favorite races of the year has always been the King's Bishop, now named the Alan Jerkins. And that's a race that I've always looked forward to. I think it's a really good test of stamina as far as like a middle distance horse is concerned. It's usually a terrific field. So that's a race that I look forward to at Saratoga every year. The Travers has just been, you know, outstanding the last few years since I've been going to Saratoga.
Yeah.
Because before I was a Del Mar man. But for about, the last 8 or so years, maybe longer, we've been spending a lot of time at Saratoga, and I really enjoy Saratoga. Interesting for me this year, my son is going to be working the entire Saratoga meeting for TVG. He's a camera guy. And I'm interested to see his take on Saratoga this year.
Is that his first time at Saratoga?
Yes. He's never been there before. He called me the other day and asked me what he needed to know. I said, you can leave your surfboard home.
Good call. Saratoga Lake. I don't know. Could he take it on Saratoga Lake?
Well, he probably could, but it wouldn't be very exciting.
He trip to Lake George.
But he's been a Del Mar kid his whole life. Actually, the day after he was born, he was on Del Mar Beach. We had a little like tent thing, and I put him in the little tent, and he was actually on the sand on Del Mar Beach the day after he was born. So he's been a Del Mar kid his whole life, and now he's not going to be at Del Mar. He's going to be at Saratoga. So I'm really looking forward to that. First of all, I get to spend time with him. Second of all, I want to see, you know, what he thinks about Saratoga.
Right. Well, don't forget, we do have our poll question out there at HRRN on Twitter, and it's pretty simple. We want to know who gets your vote as the greatest filly that we've seen in the past 10 years in thoroughbred racing, and this could kind of create some debate, too. You get four choices: Zenyatta, Rachel Alexandra, Beholder, and Songbird. Those are the four choices. Yeah, I know, Royal Delta, not on the list. If you want to write in vote for Royal Delta, she probably belongs in that discussion, too. You can go ahead and throw her in there, too. But we want to know who gets your vote at HRN on Twitter. Larry Colmus, the voice of racing, is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. About time you got up, my friend.
I've been up. You know, I just had better things to do.
That's easily done.
Yeah, but we can't argue with you there.
I figured you were probably making your oatmeal.
I already had that. I was roaming around. I had the phone turned off for some reason. I think it's an automatic thing knowing that Mike might call me.
It's funny. Tom Durkin never blew us off for an interview.
Well, you know, I'd probably know you a little bit better. That's probably why.
Yeah, and he's always available now.
Well, look, 1 week away from Saratoga, actually less than a week away from opening day. And, you know, so many great things. We were just talking about some of the highlights that we can look forward to seeing. But, Larry, this will be your third meet calling races at the Spa. Tell me about the experience of being the announcer at a track like Saratoga.
Really, there's nothing quite like it. I mean, as a guy growing up, you know, as a racing fan and as an announcer since I was 18, it's something you dream about. And, of course, for years I was calling at Monmouth Park, and I would make trips up to Saratoga on Mondays. It's the only time I could ever go. And I remember just walking around and thinking, hey, maybe one day, who knows? And then when that day actually happened, when I got the job as the Voice of Naira, it was just like, out of a movie. You know, you walk in and you've got this feeling like, wow, you know, I'm actually the announcer at Saratoga. And it's just an amazing thing. In my opinion, there's just nothing better than being there. It's just it's the epitome of what racing's all about. It's not only the best racing, but you know what really makes Saratoga is the people. Because when you go in, I mean, you've got everybody who's already laid out their stuff outside and got their picnic tables ready, and everybody is just so into it. And I just love every minute about being there.
You tweeted out earlier this week. You called it heaven on earth, and I thought, you know, of all the places that you've called and your involvement with the sport for so many years, it must really be special to you.
It really is. I mean, you know, every once in a while people are like, don't diss Belmont Park. And I don't, it's like Belmont is so cool and there's so much history there. But the difference is there's so many more people at the track every day. There's just something about Saratoga where people just want to be there. And there is nothing like an on-track crowd to make things better. And you just don't see that too much anymore. There's a few tracks out there that get that big attendance. And when you see that, and especially like in my booth at Saratoga, where I'm at Belmont, I'm upstairs all by myself. And then at Saratoga, I'm in the middle of everything. I've got a window to the right and a door that opens, and I look out into the dining room, and I hear all the ambient sound coming from there, and then the crowd below that, and it's just so cool to be a part of that. You're like in a fishbowl up there, and it's just so neat, and I really can't wait to be up there on Friday and get things going.
Talking with Naira and NBC announcer Larry Colmus here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, how about some of the personal highlights for you over the course of the past couple of seasons at Saratoga? What moments really stand out?
Well, I mean, I think to me, my one highlight was actually not involving a race itself, but was when I finally got a chance to meet an American Pharoah the day before he ended up losing the Travers, and I take partial responsibility for that.
Baffert says total responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually got a chance to go back there after he had that workout in front of 18,000 people the day before, and went back to the barn, and all of a sudden Bob Baffert just hands me his lead, and I'm just holding the Triple Crown winner all by myself. I'm like, is this really happening? So that's something I'll never forget. You've got the Travers last year with Arrowgate. I mean, breaking the track record was one of the most amazing things you'd ever want to see. I don't think I'll ever forget the maiden win by Jess's Dream in my first year there. The Rachel Alexandra baby who debuted as a three-year-old for Kieran McLaughlin and came from absolutely nowhere to win that race, never to be seen again, of course, but it was pretty impressive that day. And the first day is always huge, and the crowd joins you to say they're off at Saratoga for the first race, it's just the neatest thing, and I look forward to that every year. But there's so many highlights. The Travers itself, when even though you love American Pharoah, the excitement of when Keen Ice managed to beat him, and the way that race set up, and just the whole day, it's just one thing after another at that place. It's all great.
You know, you mentioned that tradition and it was a tradition that was started by your predecessor Tom Durkin, having the crowd join in to say, and they're off at Saratoga. It was very important to you to carry on that tradition and to continue that way. How come?
I just always loved it. I mean, we would be, every year I'd be in the publicity office at Monmouth Park, getting ready to call the races at Monmouth that day. But we'd all gather around at Saratoga, for that first race at Saratoga and just wait for that moment. And I remember Tom would always say the same thing. I didn't want to do that because, you don't want to be a total copycat, but he would always say, okay, folks, let's light this candle. And you know, that would be the signal to, here we go, you know. And I think it's just the coolest way to kick it off. And like I said, the thing about Saratoga, it's the people. The people make that place. And, you know, they should be a part of that first race. And I just thought it was the neatest thing. I'm like, hey, we're going to continue to do that. And people asked me over and over on Twitter if that was going to happen. I'm like, you better believe it. We'll definitely do it.
Yeah, I think your point about the crowd is really spot on. You know, it's like a baseball game. If you go to a baseball game and there's only 3,000 people sitting in the stands, it's not that great. But when the stadium's packed and everybody's into it, and that really hit home for me when you said that, because that's the way Saratoga is. I mean, Saturdays at Saratoga, there's really nothing like them. Everybody wants to be there. Most people couldn't wait to get there. They've been waiting for it all year. It's just a feeling that you don't get at other racetracks. I mean, they have big days at Del Mar and Keeneland sometimes, and they're nice, but Saratoga is like a place where everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to see the races and be seen there. It's just a really cool atmosphere.
And they're all smiling and everybody's in a good mood. I mean, it's the only place where you're like, you can lose money and be happy. It's just so
I'm
crazy.
Living
and
proof.
So I walk out of there, and this happens on literally a regular basis, especially on the weekends. I'll come down after the last race, walk down the steps out of the booth, and then head toward the exits. But before I leave, I tell you, there's so many times when people say, hey, Larry, you want to have a beer with us? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Races are over. And, you know, you sit and talk to people, and, you know, we talk about all the great races that happened that day. I mean, you just don't get that anywhere else. It's just a really, really cool thing.
And just to have money at the end of the day to buy a beer, because it's not cheap.
It's usually beer that they brought in at the beginning of the day that's still around.
Oh, there you go.
He's Larry Colmus. He doesn't buy a beer. People are buying him drinks.
I know, but if they have money left at the end of the day, the graveyard of champions, et cetera, et cetera.
Larry, where does having me as a roommate for the meet rank among your highlights at Saratoga?
Yeah, I like the word rank when it comes to that. That's pretty appropriate. What can I say? I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but, you know, it's just one of those things that I have to deal with. Saratoga isn't perfect, we'll put it that way.
When does the Silver Oak arrive?
Hopefully very soon. I'm going to have a good selection for us, and hopefully it won't be gone, because I hear, you know, you don't like it, Saratoga, as much as you used to. You're coming later this year. I don't know what that's all about.
Hey, we have people that can take care of things for us now. We got the Big A, who's going to be on site, which will be kind of cool. Looking forward to having him up there.
Yeah, the Big A can definitely take care of things. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So let me just tell this story very quickly. We have to get to a commercial break, but I mentioned Silver Oak, which if people don't know, it is a brand of wine and a very high-end wine, which Larry happens to like. Larry, a wine connoisseur, somewhat of a wine connoisseur anyway. And I always used to hate wine. I was a beer drinker. I was raised as a beer drinker. When I went to Saratoga and started living with Larry Colmus, he turned me on to good wine. And now I can't drink anything else but good wine. So, Larry, thanks for that, man.
Yeah, Michelle's not too happy about that. I know that the wine bills have certainly gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cocktail bills have gone down and his wine bills have gone up. So his tax accountant's very happy.
Larry, looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy opening day next week. And thanks for spending a little time with us this morning, my friend.
You got it. Have fun. See you soon.
And Larry Colmus, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. We'll get to a break. We'll come back at you set for the second half of the program this morning. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast? fast.
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Hit It A Bomb, the precocious, undefeated Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and the only Breeders' Cup winner by elite sire Warfront. One of Warfront's best-bred sons at stud, hailing out of a stakes-winning Sadler's Wells mare, his half-sister, Brave Anna, is a current Grade 1 winner and leading 2-year-old filly in Europe in 2016. Hit It A Bomb, standing at Spendthrift.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Cual cuerpo al frente justiciero. Sigue avanzando, sale ahora la parte de adentro y está a la delantera. ¿Quién lo? 225 metros finales. Se despega con no menos de 6 cuerpos para el segundo lugar. Porto Sol Justiciero por 7 cuerpos, convirtiéndose en ganador de la triple corona de Puerto Rico.
The Copa San Juan on July 7th. That call, of course, in Spanish, and that's because Justice Hierro won the Puerto Rican Triple Crown with that victory back on July 7th. He becomes the 12th Triple Crown winner in the history of Puerto Rico racing, and we're going to be joined by his owner and breeder, Mark Tasher, coming up in just a few minutes, shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern. So stay with us for that interview. Should be a lot of fun. Also gives us an opportunity to remind you that you can tune in to the Horse Racing Radio Network in Spanish every single Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern by going to hrnenespanol.com. You can join Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma for our Hablando de Ibismo program, which is all presented by Gulfstream Park. So head over there as soon as we finish up here, 10 o'clock Eastern, hrnenespanol.com, and get all of your horse racing talk in Spanish. And then, of course, look forward to big races broadcast in Spanish with our broadcast team coming up later this summer. Should be a lot of fun to talk to Mark here. A little bit of a different story. If you're just joining us, this is a Songbird Saturday. She is running today in the Delaware Handicap. We're going to talk about her a little bit in the second half of the show, too. But you don't get a chance to talk about a Triple Crown winner in thoroughbred racing very often. And now we get a chance to do it with a Puerto Rico Triple Crown winner. And only 12 of those in the history of the sport. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, looking forward to the Clásico del Caribe December the 9th at Gulfstream Park. And that's where this horse is being pointed for now.
Yeah.
But it's real interesting, the story behind this horse, and looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, well, Mark will join us in just a couple of minutes. We're also going to be joined in the second half of the show by C.J. Johnson with Kentucky Downs. He's actually making his way down to the Gillespie Fair in Texas. And going to look forward to visiting with him coming up in a little bit.
And what is he going to do at the Gillespie Fair?
They're going to bet horses.
All right.
Yeah, it's the Gillespie Fairgrounds is what he told me.
Hmm.
And I believe it's, I'm pretty sure it's Texas because he said he was driving through Texas. I was going to actually Google it before we came on air just to double check that. But he said he was driving through Texas. So I'm going to go with it being in Texas.
Let me see if our crack research team, i.e. me.
Pull that one up, will you? We have to get to a station ID. We're going to do that. We'll come back with hour number two right after this. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th, Paula Lang from Bala Bali, Free Rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the toy on the bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. A very busy morning continuing here for you. Mike Penna and Jude Feld. That's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning, the 15th day of July, 2017. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, our interview with retiring trainer Mike Hushin or with NYRA announcer Larry Colmus, head back over to our website later today. That's horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows. And by the way, they are also available on iTunes. So you can access the Horse Racing Radio Network just about anywhere. Go ahead and check it out, horseracingradio.net. Fun first half. Looking forward to the second half as well. And Jude, we get to kick it off by talking about a Puerto Rican Triple Crown winner. How cool is that?
Very cool. And I love Puerto Rico. I love going to the races there too.
Johnny Velasquez did not ride the horse though.
No.
Johnny, a native of Puerto Rico.
Well, yes.
I'm sure he would have loved to have won the Puerto Rican Triple Crown.
No question.
I'm sure he would have enjoyed that. Well, Mark Thatcher has indeed won that Triple Crown. He's won it with Justice Sierra, who pulled off the feat on July 7th by winning the Copa San Juan. And Mark is with us now. He is the owner and the breeder of Justice Sierra. Mark, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy to have you with us here this morning. For those people who may not be familiar with this Puerto Rican Triple Crown, take us through the three races, the timing, the distances. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. Beginning of May, it's the first of the three races. It's called, not by coincidence, the Derby. Instead of the Kentucky Derby, of course, it's the Derby from Puerto Rico, Puerto Rican Derby. And that's held at the beginning of May. That race is a mile and a 16th, and the horse won that day by around 5 lengths. Second leg is held at the beginning of June, and that race is called the Governor's Cup. Traditionally, the governor of Puerto Rico goes and hands the trophy for the winner. And that race is held at a mile and an eighth. And Justiciero won that race by like 3 lengths. And the third race is one you mentioned, the Copa San Juan, the San Juan Cup, and that's held at a mile and 3/16. and Houstashire won that race by around 7 minutes. So that capped it off and made him the 12th Triple Crown winner in Puerto Rico in its history. And the second for the leading rider right now in Puerto Rico. He's been leading rider for quite a few years. His name is Juan Carlos Diaz. And it's been quite a ride. I mean, I've enjoyed it very much. I've been into horse racing for like 30 years now. And this first time I've had the chance to have a horse do this well in Puerto Rico.
Well, Jude, you can see why I am on the English side of things here with HRN and not on our Spanish division, HRN and Espanol, because I was pronouncing the horse's name Justiciero, but as you heard Mark say a minute ago, it is Justiciero.
Justiciero. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, it sounds like he's a phenomenal horse, winning all three legs by open lengths. He's dominating the local three-year-olds.
Yes, that's it's not often you get a chance to have a horse like this. I mean, he's a classic two-turn horse. He's by Coach Billy G, who's a sire who's by Storm Cat, and that's not usually the case. It's just that on the mare side you have the AP Indy line, and he's quite a two-turn horse. I mean, the longer he goes, the better he does. I mean, he sits back, and his burst of speed through that last three furlongs is very impressive.
Mark, why was Coach Billy G the right stallion to breed to? And, of course, we know the result, but why was that the right stallion?
Well, I just got to correct it because I'm not the breeder of the horse. I bought this horse at a sale in Puerto Rico.
Got it.
The breeder is his name. He's a doctor, and he does this for like almost everyone you talk to. I mean, I do. I mean, most of us do as a hobby, and he's got a farm. And he doesn't sell that many horses. He just breeds like 20 horses a year. And he conducts a small sale. And this is where I bought Justiciero.
I noticed that, I read anyway, that you picked the horse out from a picture on the website first. He just caught your eye. And then you went and looked at him. But that's pretty cool. You know, going online, seeing a horse that you like, and then having him pan out, that's pretty amazing.
Well, to be honest, I never participate in that sale. I never go to that sale. But that year in particular, I just looked. They have a page in Facebook. I mean, the breeder does, and he's got all the pictures there. And I was looking through he had like 15 or 20 horses catalog. And I looked at all the pictures and I saw this horse and it jumped at me. And I said, wow, nice looking horse. And so I went to see him personally. I mean, confirmation wise, he was beautiful to look at. And I just bought him. And like I said, I never go to that sale, but that year in particular, I was pushed to go by that picture.
Yeah, it's meant to be.
Yeah, meant to be. And you didn't have to pay a lot of money either. And here you are with a Triple Crown winner.
That is correct. That is correct.
That sire, Coach Billy G, he's a name for Billy Gillespie, who was coach here at Kentucky. And I kind of giggled when I saw that because Billy Gillespie, he loved going to Keeneland. He was quite the racing fan and could be seen at Keeneland almost every day when he was the coach of the Wildcats here.
Okay, I didn't know that, so that's good to know.
Mark, how about you? You've been in the game a long time, I think, 30 years or so, and you've had some really nice horses. Tell us a little bit about your background and this journey that has finally culminated with a Triple Crown winner.
Well, I was the son of avid racing fan, horse racing fan. My father used to take me to the track when I was a kid. And that's where my love started to grow. My parents got divorced, and my mother married a journalist who covered horse racing. So I was young at that time, and I started to go to the track. I started to see things differently. Professionally, I had started to evolve, and I decided to buy my first horse, which, as actually like a lot of us do, wasn't mine completely. I bought half of the horse, and it was a mare, a filly. And she did very well. She staked placed, and I was hooked. I was hooked right there. I was 20, probably 26, 27 years old. And through the years, I've had horses race in the States. I've had horses race in Puerto Rico, of course. And I've done pretty well. Like a lot of owners, we have our ups and downs. And overall, I'm very satisfied with the quality of horses I've had. I've won plenty of stakes races. I don't know the number, but it's over 30 stakes races. So I've done pretty well, and I'm really blessed to have this horse running right now, because we're thinking about the big stake race, which is in December, and that's the Clásico Caribe. And it's a Caribbean stakes race, which I know you guys must know about. And we have all the countries from Latin America representing, horses representing each one of those countries. And that's exciting, having a horse represent Puerto Rico and trying to win that race.
Yeah, this year going to be held at Gulfstream Park on December the 9th. And it's going to be a lot of fun having horses come from all over the Caribbean and South America to participate in that race, and really looking forward to that.
Yes. Horses from Mexico, Panama, Venezuela, you have a Dominican Republic, you have a lot of Peru, a lot of countries that come to that series, and it's really fun. It's really fun. I participated in the past, and I've had a lot of fun, and hopefully this year that will continue.
I'm talking with Mark Thatcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, owner of Puerto Rican Triple Crown winner Justo Siedo. Mark, take us back to July 7th and the moment that Justo Siedo crosses the finish line. He dominated the race. He won very easily. Put us there with you. What was that like watching him pull off the Triple Crown?
Well, I usually watch the races. We have like an owner's box, like you call it, and I usually watch it from there. But there was so many people that day that my wife and myself, we decided to watch the race close to the rail, near the finish line, after the finish line. And this way we had like a closer view, because it was very difficult. A lot of people were excited about having a possibility of having a Triple Crown, and it was very crowded at the racetrack that day. So we watched it close to the rail at the finish line, and there's a big screen, the TV screen, and that's where we watched the race. And he was dead last with about 5 furlongs to go, or even less, I'm sorry, with 3.5 or 4 furlongs to go, he was still last. But his speed, his burst of stamina a horse has, he came flying through the inside. He had a gap in the inside close to the rail, and he went through there, and he just kept pulling away and pulling away, and we started screaming, my wife and myself, and we hugged each other. We couldn't believe it. It was a very exciting moment, and very exciting afterwards also, because having all the people come up to us and congratulate us, and a lot of friends and family we had there, it was a very special moment, which I'll always remember.
You know, after American Pharoah won the Triple Crown here, they talked about horse racing getting a bit of a shot in the arm, and that people who weren't really horse racing fans but were sports fans would maybe start following the sport a little more closely because of what they watched with the Triple Crown run. How about in this situation? Do you see the same thing in Puerto Rico after winning the Triple Crown?
No doubt. This helps a lot. I'm two different things racing. I've done all most jobs, and I'm part owner of the racetrack in Puerto Rico, and I have that inside information also of what goes on in the betting. And leading up to this Triple Crown, you saw the handle go up. And that day was unbelievable. And after the Triple Crown, we've kept numbers on what this has done in Puerto Rico in terms of the handle and the just the people. You can see how different it is now that we have a Triple Crown winner. People are excited about it. They talk about it on social media. You can feel the difference. Because everybody's writing about this, everybody is really happy about it, and you can see it at the track. I mean, we've had, after the race, we had people making reservations for all kind of events we're having this month. So you can see the enthusiasm people have for having a Triple Crown winner.
How long was the time between Triple Crown winners?
Well, last one was like 5 years ago. But before that, this is our 12th. We've only had 12 Triple Crown winners. And in the span where Puerto Rico has had horse racing over 150 years now.
So wow.
It's not an easy thing to do. People really, I think this touches not the average fan, not the horse racing fan. What we're trying to reach, and I think this does reach them, is new fans, you know, young people that like to see something different. And I think Justo Fierro and this type of events really attract those young fans into horse racing.
Yeah, it's a great thing for the sport and a great thing for racing in Puerto Rico as well. Mark, congratulations on that Triple Crown. All the best to Justo Fierro moving forward, and we look forward to seeing him at Gulfstream in December in that Clásico del Caribe.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and hopefully we'll be there in December.
All right, thanks, Mark. And Mark, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is indeed going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Interesting to hear him say that he does think that it's had some impact and will have some impact on non-racing fans, even in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well, I hope so, because going to the races in Puerto Rico is a blast. I really enjoyed my experience there, and they just treated us so nicely, and it's a really cool racetrack, a lot of history there, and the people that go to the races are really into the sport, but it's nice to get some new fans, and hopefully this will spark some interest. They always have a problem with short fields in Puerto Rico, so if they could get some people that would be interested in owning some horses and getting involved in the sport that way, it would really be a big boost.
All right, we're going to step away for another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this Songbird Saturday and the Delaware Handicap as she gets ready to go to the post later today. And we'll tell you about one individual who is in somewhat of a stalking position in a bit of a different kind of race out in Las Vegas. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs. highlighted by two new Greatest Stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies, Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. With his much-anticipated first foals hitting the ground this year, the sky is the limit for this promising young stallion, Lee, at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-544. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
As they come down to the wire, the two of them will decide it, and it is going to be New Money Honey, who has defeated Sister Charlie.
New Money Honey proved she's worth every penny with her win in the Grade 1 Belmont Oaks Invitational this past weekend. The daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is now 4-for-6 lifetime with more than $1.3 million in earnings, making New Money Honey your Darley Taking the Reigns Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at three and the best three-year-old filly since the 1970s. In addition to New Money Honey, Medaglia d'Oro is the sire of 2017 top-level winners Songbird and Dickinson, and now has produced more Grade 1 winners than any other sire this year. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
And they're off at Saratoga.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Saratoga. Every Saturday during the Saratoga Summer Meet, we'll broadcast live from the spa with exclusive coverage of the world's most prestigious races, including the Whitney, the Alabama, the Jim Dandy, the Travers, and more. Saturdays at Saratoga, only here on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come to the top of the stretch, Songbird on the outside now recaptures the lead from paid-up subscriber as they straighten out. Highway Star trying to make a race of it. Karina Mia is fourth on the far outside. Mike Smith just shakes the reins here with a furlong to run. She's got Songbird. Songbird in front by a half a length. Paid-up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth. Songbird over paid-up subscriber, Highway Star, and Karina Mia.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, rolling on with a busy morning. Songbird winning the Ogden Phipps in her most recent outing. That was Larry Colmus with the call, who you heard earlier in the program in hour number one. Songbird goes postward later today in the Delaware Handicap, and we're going to talk more about that race and what Songbird may be facing in there, if anything. On paper, she is a huge favorite. She's 1-5 on the morning line. She looks to tower over this field, but we'll see if maybe there's another horse that could give her a run for her money later today. We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also have a great story about Joe Migliori, the son of jockey Richard Migliori,
We're going to tell you that story in a moment as well. But first, it is time for our Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, we talked Travers earlier, so how about this one? Gunnavera aims for the Travers Stakes. You remember Gunnavera? Trainer Antonio Sano said July 13th that the Travers on August 26th at Saratoga is the ultimate goal for multiple greatest stakes winner Gunnavera, who will not venture to the upstate New York track for the July 29th Jim Dandy. That's right, he won't do it. Sano said, "We will look for a race at Gulfstream first and then the Travers. He won't run in the Jim Dandy." Gunnavera hasn't raced since finishing fifth in the Preakness at Pimlico on May 20th. The son of Dialed In has breezed four times since his last start, including back-to-back bullet, five furlong workouts in 1 minute the past 2 weeks. He is scheduled to breeze again at Gulfstream Park West later this morning. Yeah, Gunnavera looking good. That's your Blood Horse news update. For more industry news and headlines, head over to bloodhorse.com. And don't miss any summer racing coverage like only Blood Horse can bring you. You can follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. And of course, bloodhorse.com is your source for all the industry headlines. Head over there now, bloodhorse.com. All right, JT, I mentioned just a moment ago that Songbird is going to do her thing later today at Delaware. And you look at some of the horses that have competed in that Delaware handicap and won it over the years, and you see some of those great names like Royal Delta, for example, who won it back-to-back years in 2012 and 2013. You see a name like Blind Luck and Unbridled Bell, Fleet Indian. I mean, there have been some really nice horses to win this race, and Songbird looking to now add her name to that list.
Yeah, it's always been a nice race, hence the grade one.
Yeah.
That's a dead giveaway that there's been some good horses running there. Songbird certainly fits with that group and maybe the best of the whole lot.
Yeah, and again, she towers over that field today. It's only a field of six, so she has to defeat those five other rivals. Nobody in that field can even come close to matching her accomplishments. Is this a walkover for Songbird today?
I kind of feel that it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the race, and there's really only two horses that have even been competitive in stakes races facing her. Number one, Miss Mo Kelly, who, has, I guess, she's won a stakes, a small stakes at Remington. But the couple of graded races that she's run in, she's been beaten away. And then Weep No More, who's a grade one winner of the Ashland at Keeneland, but she's been beaten quite handily in her last five starts. I mean, she has.
Yeah, what's gone on with her?
Finished in the money since she won the Ashland. So she just doesn't have much speed. And that's really an issue in this race. There's nobody as fast as Songbird, and there's nobody that seems like they can catch her.
Yeah.
It looks like, Mike Smith's going to be able to just go to the front and keep on going without much challenge. But, you never know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, they don't run the race on paper, and, certainly anything can happen. But it looks like Songbird is sitting in a pretty good position now to pick up another grade one victory and just continue her role as she looks to assert herself among the greatest that we've seen in a very long time. 5:30 Eastern is the post for that grade one Delaware handicap. It goes as race nine this afternoon. How about this story? Joe Migliore, who is the son of jockey Richie Migliore, is competing in the World Series of Poker out in Las Vegas, and he is in a pretty good position right now, believe it or not. He finds himself in 90th place, and you go, okay, well, that doesn't sound like it's very close, but it's a pretty good spot to be in with only a few days left in the tournament. And we want to wish Joe all the best. It's such a cool story. Joe, of course, now working with Terry Finley and West Point Thoroughbreds, but he qualified for the World Series of Poker, and now he finds himself in contention. He has, how about this? Almost $1.5 million in chips, and the leader's at over $4 million, so he's still a ways behind. but he's in the hunt.
Yeah, he's in the game, and that's huge. You know, I had a conversation with his dad about the poker playing thing, and
At Belmont,
Richard's a very good poker player himself. You know, and I asked him. I said, "Can your son beat Rajiv and Kieran McLaughlin?" And
yeah.
he goes, "Yeah, he can." I go, "Then he must be really good because those two guys are you know excellent. If they didn't have more on their plate, they might be in this tournament as well." But yeah, that's very impressive. I've been following it all week. It's become kind of a really cool story.
Yeah, Joe sent out a tweet late last night from Vegas talking about his total and how he had a really good day yesterday. And you can tell he's just fired up, and he should be. But to find himself in a contending position with the greatest poker players in the world is really cool, and it's a great story.
Yeah, the first tweet I noticed, and it's he had like 172,000 or something. And I thought that the way the tweet was written, I didn't realize it was chips. I thought it was cash. And I go,
yeah.
Oh, nice score. Good job, Joe. And then later on, I'm not a poker aficionado.
Yeah, not me either.
I'm like one of the worst card players of all time. I could lose a fish game.
Go fish.
Go fish.
Yeah, I haven't played that game in years.
Well, it's you know, usually for little kids. But
right. Well,
it's right in your wheelhouse.
Alley. That's never stopped us before. We do lots of juvenile things together. Absolutely.
True.
So our poll question of the day, and if you're just joining us and you haven't voted yet, head over to our Twitter feed, at HRRN, or head to our Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and let us know your thoughts. The question of the day is, who gets your vote as the greatest filly of the past 10 years? And we thought this was appropriate with Songbird running today. She's on that list. You get four choices on Twitter, so we gave you four choices to vote. You can pick Zenyatta, Rachel Alexandra, Beholder, or Songbird. Now, I know we left Royal Delta off the list, and she certainly could be on there, no doubt about it. But those are your four, Zenyatta, Rachel, Beholder, and Songbird. Jude, we have 143 votes in already. Who do you think is winning?
Well, I heard that it was Zenyatta.
It is Zenyatta, and she is crushing this field. Not even what really surprised me is the margin and the separation she's receiving here with the voting. 62% of the votes coming in for Zenyatta. Rachel is in second with 26%. Songbird and Beholder each have 6% of the votes. The one that really shocks me there is Beholder, not getting any respect from HRN Nation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she got respect from me.
Is that who you picked?
That's who I picked. I will probably never get over watching her win the Pacific Classic.
Yeah.
That was an body performance. I akin that race to Arrogate winning the Travers in visual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watching those two races, fantastic.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're going to talk about maybe some of the greatest moments surrounding those particular fillies and mares, you know, certainly Zenyatta, Breeders' Cup Classic, that comes to mind. We had the privilege of broadcasting that race here on the network. That's one moment I'll never forget. Another race that we had the privilege of broadcasting was Rachel Alexandra when she won at Saratoga and beat the boys right in the Woodward. And that was incredible. And I can remember Tom Durkin saying that Rachel Alexandra raises the rafters here at the Spa. And it was so loud. At that point, we were still broadcasting from out back by the paddock area. We hadn't moved trackside that year. And even out back with the headsets on watching the race, you could just hear the excitement. I mean, you could hear the crowd noise, and you could almost feel the ground shaking. It was incredible.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it, especially from our old location.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
But, yeah.
Our man John Koziak's weighing in. He's not on Twitter, but he likes Rachel Alexandra.
Just got a text from a good friend of ours, too, who's tuning in and said Silver Bullet Day would have run them all off their feet. Now, of course, that doesn't fall into the past decade, so that's why she's not on the list. But Silver Bullet Day was pretty good, too.
Yeah, she was good.
I don't think she's in this discussion, though.
I don't think so, either.
I don't think she is. Yeah. And I told you, I think Songbird,
Boy, that's hard to say. I think Songbird could be the one on the outside looking in if Royal Delta was on this list, and you only had to choose four.
Why would you say that? I mean, what's your reasoning behind that? Why are you sketching?
Songbird? I think about Zenyatta and everything she accomplished. I think about Rachel's accomplishments, Beholder's accomplishments, and then if you throw Royal Delta on the list, which she's not, she had some unbelievable. I don't view Songbird in the same light, and I don't know why. I don't know why that is.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know why. No, because I told you. I looked at her. Like, look at her race record.
Oh, I know. She's lost one time by a nose to Beholder.
Right.
Who's also on this list.
Correct. It sounds crazy to even make that statement, yeah. Right? But for me, perception-wise, I don't look at Songbird as being in the same league yet. And that's crazy because all Songbird has done is win 12 of 13 starts and earn more than $4 million.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a perception thing. That's all it is.
I don't care about the money. It's more about the competition and you know that kind of thing. I mean, Songbird's been very dominant. You're starting to irritate the Big A too because
the Big A may never talk to me again.
Yeah.
He may never talk to me again. The biggest Songbird fan ever, Anthony Stabile up in New York.
And he's seen a few races in his life.
Yeah.
So I just think I'm shocked that you don't find her in there. How many votes is she getting?
Go back and look.
Is she second choice, third choice?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I have this perception of Songbird. You look at some of the fillies that she's beaten. All right, let me just run through the runner-ups and her most recent starts. Okay, you have paid-up subscribers. She's nice. She's not great. She's nice. Karina Mia. Okay, nice. Not great. Going for Broke. Karina Mia again. Bellamentary. I mean, Landover Sea, those aren't names that really strike fear. I mean, she's been a gigantic favorite in all of her races and she's towered over the field on paper.
She's one off on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only beat who they run against.
That's correct.
Nobody wants to run against her because she's so good.
Yep.
Right? A lot of times, I mean, I'm really surprised that there's five horses that are going to try her today.
Yeah. Rachel, Zenyatta, and Beholder all beat the boys. Right?
Right.
I'll beat the boys. I named those fillies that Songbird has beaten. They're not household names.
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe why my perception of Songbird isn't that what could, it is
that
with the
could
other
be,
three.
I don't, you know, beating the boys doesn't really mean that much to me, per se, but
when you beat them in the Breeders' Cup Classic, it does.
Well,
and in the Woodward.
It doesn't matter who's running. You won the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's like talking about lady trainers and girl jockeys and... You know, in racing, that's what the cool thing about racing. Everybody's on their own, right? The men compete against the women. We don't need to discuss if John McEnroe is better than Serena Williams or all of that stupid stuff that people love to talk about. And, you know, you prove it on the racetrack. So if you win the Breeders' Cup Classic, you're the Breeders' Cup Classic winner. I don't care what kind of plumbing you have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great debate, and it's a great... you know, great poll question out there right now. Head over and vote on it at HRN on Twitter. We're going to get to a break. CJ Johnson is coming up next. He's with Kentucky Downs, and this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we are your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch him, they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording 8 fires from 107 to 117 and 9 Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the top of the race, now complexion changing quickly. The Big Hoss suddenly bursts on the scene, but on the far outside might have to deal with Green Grass of Wyoming. So these two come ranging up now for the stretch drive. Bulldog Alley has run a good race, and Rum Tum Tugger is dropping back into deep stretch now. Here's the test for the Big Hoss. Does he have it? He appears to have plenty. It's the Big Hoss in front. He's driving, but he's in front. Bulldog Alley has run a huge race on the inside. The Big Hoss is extended, but he will not be beat. It's four in a row. The Big Hoss repeats and takes the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup. Huge run from Bobard's Alley. Rum Tum Tugger and Greengrass of Wyoming. Weekend late.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here in the month of July. So appropriate that we hear that call of the Kentucky Turf Cup last year. And the Big Hoss winning the race for the second consecutive season. Their meet will kick off on September 2nd. It is a 5-day all-turf season, runs September 2nd to the 14th, and Kentucky Downs going to be giving away an average, how about this, of more than $1.68 million in purses a day. That is by far tops in the country, and we are joined now by C.J. Johnson, who is with Kentucky Downs. C.J., welcome, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I like that call, too. It's safe to say that's one of the best claims of all time.
I would say that's pretty close.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite Lava Man-esque, but pretty good.
Sure. Yeah. Maker's got an eye for those horses, you know. So
I mentioned those lofty numbers in terms of the daily purse structure and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies involved over that 5-day meet. How do you do it, man? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, you know, the historical horse racing has really helped our purses. And, you know, they're not just helping us. We were able to send some money over to Ellis Park, and so that's why you're kind of seeing that resurgence of their two-year-old program. And they've had some great races these past couple weeks, and these cards are amazing, and keeping more horsemen in Kentucky. And, you know, we're just trying to help out the whole state.
Yeah, it's really been amazing how many people have opted to stay in Kentucky and race at Ellis Park because of that purse resurgence. And then I've had two separate stable managers tell me this week that they're planning their horse racing schedule around Kentucky Downs, and that's pretty impressive too.
Yeah, it's, you know, with maiden special weights over 120,000, you know, you kind of got to point to it like it's a stakes race if you've got a nice, you know, a nice maiden. And then all the allowance races are, you know, nice purses too. So, yeah, we, you know, it's been a, I'm glad we're finally getting on the map of all these horsemen and they're really starting to point to us.
CJ, a couple of new grade threes on the docket for this year, too. Talk about that.
Yeah, we our ladies turf race and then the turf sprint just got upgraded to grade threes. And, you know, the turf sprint is, I mean, we've had, you know, the Green Mask has been in there undrafted. We've had some great horses get in there and then go on and run in the Breeders' Cup. So it's kind of just a matter of time till, you know, it got graded. And luckily this year was the year. But we're going to run all three of our grade three races on Saturday the 9th. So it should be a big day.
Talk about the atmosphere at Kentucky Downs and how much fun it is to go to the races there.
Well, I, you know, I kind of compare it to it's like a fair meet, but with, you know, nice purse money, and you're seeing, you know, very, very high quality horses, and it's free general admission. We do have ticketed seating, you know, that you can buy reserved seats with, you know, buffets and wagering windows and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just if you want to come out and enjoy a cheap day at the races, you know, you don't want to pay $15 for a hamburger or anything like that. It's a nice, relaxing atmosphere, but with very legitimate horses and purse money.
You know, a few years ago, CJ, I had an opportunity when we were at Santa Anita to walk the downhill turf course from start to finish with jockey Richard Migliori. And that's such a unique turf course at Santa Anita, the only right turn in North American racing. Kentucky Downs is also a very unique turf course. Kind of take us through the configuration of the racetrack and what makes it so unique.
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's, on the backside, there's undulations, as you've heard, you know, that word, you hear it over in Europe a lot, but it kind of goes downhill and then comes back uphill, and there is a right turn, actually, on our course, but, and then once it comes into the stretch turn, it's a big, sweeping, banked turn, And we've actually seen a lot of horses, you know, in the Breeders' Cup is at Santa Anita, a lot of horses trainers will prep their horses on our course just to kind of see if, you know, their horses will take to that right turn and that downhill. And then our stretch run is, it's slightly uphill. So, you know, we've noticed a lot of horses come out of Kentucky Downs very fit. Even if they don't run well at our place, they go off and they run well, you know, at Keeneland. And then in the Breeders' Cup.
Jockey Jimmy Graham, he said it's his favorite place to ride because it reminds him a lot of being home in Ireland, and I think he's got a definite point there.
Yeah, I've heard the same, you know, from other riders that have come from over there. You know, I think that's part of Florent Giroux's success there is he kind of understands how to navigate those turns and hills. And then you saw last year Flavian Pratt came for the first year, and I mean, you know, took him a little bit, but once he got the hang of it, he started winning races too. And I actually, I'm not 100% sure if he'll come again this year. I've told he is, but I think he's going to, you know, give Giroux a run for his money this year.
Talking with CJ Johnson of Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. CJ, you are in the process of making your way to Gillespie County Fairgrounds in Fredericksburg, Texas. Tell me a little bit about that place.
Well, it's, you know, in a way, it kind of reminds me of Kentucky Downs. It's a, you know, a little fair meet. It's my dad's birthday is on Monday, so we're kind of making our, you know, our pilgrimage down there to celebrate. But we just go, you know, enjoy ourselves. It's mostly quarter horses. I think there's two thoroughbred races on the card today, but it's just kind of a, you know, a different atmosphere for us to get down to. It's real laid back, and we like just going and enjoying ourselves under the beer pavilion and hanging out and, you know, hanging with the locals down there. But it's a fun little day. And then Fredericksburg's a beautiful, beautiful city down in the hill country. So we got about a 4-hour drive in front of us.
You told me you made a nice little hit last year when you guys were there on a horse that probably wasn't so easy to come up with.
Yeah, he was an 8-year-old working off like a 6-year layoff. But he looked the part, and, you know, down there when you're handicapping these quarter horses, you know, you're not going to see a lot on paper with some of them because they'll go running match races and stuff, so there's a lot of sight handicapping involved.
Did you get your love of Gillespie when your dad was at Lone Star Park?
You know, the funny thing is I never made it down there until a year ago, and now, you know, we're going to make it a yearly deal, but no, back then I was I was, you know, either in college or high school and didn't really, you know, have the bug like I have now where I'm trying to go to every track I can whenever I can, you know. I probably wouldn't have appreciated it back then either. You know, I was kind of spoiled by Lone Star Park, so.
Yeah, your dad, Corey, does so much work to help the industry and to help riders in particular. He's very involved with the Jockeys Guild and the PDJF, and you have a couple of websites that you guys have created, JockeyTalk360.com and TurfTalk360.com, which is a bit of a newer version and a newer concept. Talk about those two websites for a minute, CJ.
Yeah, with Jockey Talk, we just, you know, the sport, you know, we feel the riders don't get the credit they deserve. And these guys are, I mean, pound for pound, the best athletes in the world, really. They're amazing what they go through, what they put their bodies through. And, you know, the struggles they go through when they retire or you know, get injured. And so we created the website just to kind of gain, you know, awareness and get people interested in the human element of the game. And, you know, a lot of these guys have great stories. So, you know, a lot of our proceeds go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. We do fundraisers for them. But it's just all about getting, you know, the awareness up to these riders. A lot of people are just all about the horses. And like I said, these riders need to be celebrated too, because their job is, you know, incredibly difficult. And then Turf Talk, you know, obviously we love turf racing and we follow turf racing very closely all around North America and the world. And so we thought, you know, it'd be neat for people to be able to go to a website just to kind of find, you know, all the cool little things about turf racing. We've got, you know, we have different featured articles, and we do, you know, a Fasig Tipton Turf Horse of the Month every month. And it just kind of celebrates the best turf horse of the month. And then what we do is we've got, you know, all the turf stakes records. I mean, we're working on that right now, but we've got a bunch of them from, you know, Belmont, Arlington, Churchill, Keeneland, Saratoga, Del Mar, all their graded turf stakes. You can go look at the histories of them and check out who's won those in the past. But, yeah, we just started that a couple months ago, and it's been going well so far.
Yeah, it's a great concept, and you guys do so much to help the industry that we want to publicly thank you for that. And I want to thank you personally for all your support of what we do here on the network. We can't do it without you guys, and we look forward to helping you even more as we get closer to the start of that meet in early September. Happy birthday to your dad. Safe travels, and enjoy the Gillespie County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. And by the way, if we can make it down to Gillespie, I'm hoping you guys can make it down to Kentucky Downs this year. So
let's make it happen.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, CJ.
Take it easy.
All right, CJ Johnson, Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, yeah, so much money involved with that meet now. It's kind of absurd, really, when you think about all the money they're going to give away. If you're a horseman looking for some place to go with your turf horse in September, why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah, well, it's the money's well worth trying a horse on the grass.
Well, it means the competition's going to be salty, too, because of all the money.
But it's very salty. It's one of my favorite places to go racing. I usually make at least one trip a year down there. You know, it's a lot of fun. I'd really like to go for the whole meet. Ideally, I'd like to spend like 2 weeks down there and just go to the races every day. Once in a while, you get a rain out, but it would be fun to hang out there for the whole meet.
Yeah, if you have a horse you feel can really run, why not take a shot on the turf down there at Kentucky Downs and take a shot for all that money? All right, we're going to get to another break. We will come back and wrap up the show and tell you what you can look forward to in the coming weeks on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and this is the Equine Forum, all presented by Kentucky Downs.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Beep.
John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches. Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Racing begins next Friday at Saratoga. We will be there on Saturday to bring you coverage of the first Saturday at Saratoga. That's the first of seven consecutive Saturdays that you'll hear major stakes races from the Spa exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can head to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete Saturdays at Saratoga schedule. That entire series is presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org, and we can't wait to bring it to you. Anthony Stabile will be on site next Saturday with that race coverage. As a matter of fact, the next two Saturdays. And then we will head up there in early August, and also going to bring you coverage once again this year of the Fasig-Tipton Saratoga sale, which takes place that first week in August, and that should be a lot of fun too. Always is.
Yeah, it's always a good broadcast, and we always have a lot of fun, a lot of interesting people to interview and get their take on the yearlings and the sport. And it's going to be
it's a different type of show, which is something that I really enjoy. You're not broadcasting a race, you're broadcasting a sale, and people say, well, how do you make that interesting? But it's such a neat way to showcase the sport, right? I mean, that's where everything starts.
Right.
Starts in the breeding shed, of course. But beyond that, when you start talking about some of the greats that we've seen in the sport, they come through the auction ring.
Yeah, and especially at the Saratoga sale, it's a select sale, and the pedigrees are outstanding. It's always fun to see the new sires. You know, the best that the new sires have to offer oftentimes show up at the Saratoga sale. So it's a smaller catalog, and it's a hard sale to sell a horse at because it's a captive audience and there's a small catalog. So people keep looking and looking and looking, and you can always find something to knock a horse on.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there's some beautiful animals and they sell quite well there, so it's a great experience, a big event for the town of Saratoga. People come out the first night,
yep,
and enjoy it, get dressed up, hit the bars, rub elbows with their favorite trainers and stuff. It's kind of cool.
It is maybe the premier yearling sale that we have in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and you can check it out August 7th and 8th. We will be there with that coverage here on the network, so make sure you see a complete schedule on our website as well. Been a busy 2 hours this morning. If you missed any portion of the show, we encourage you, as always, to head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows right there on our website and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Our thanks to our special guest, Mike Hushin, who joined us in the first half of the program, looking back on his 40-year career. Larry Colmus, Mark Thatcher, the owner of the Puerto Rican Triple Crown winner. That was a fun interview. And CJ Johnson, just a short time ago. Busy show.
Yeah, it flew by.
All About the Spa next weekend.
Oh, can't wait.
Del Mar opening, too, pretty soon. That'll
and
be
then,
fun.
And then the Haskell.
Yeah, and then the Haskell, too. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we appreciate everybody tuning in here this morning. Thanks for being with us. Follow us on social media, at HRN on Twitter. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Hey, why not? Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.